2. The Mail. It was the Dover Road that lay on a Friday night late in November before the first of the persons with whom this history has business. The Dover Road lay, as to him, beyond the Dover Mail as it lumbered up Shooter's Hill. He walked uphill in the mire by the side of the mail, as the rest of the passengers did, not because they had the least relish for walking exercise under the circumstances, but because the hill and the harness and the mud and the mail were all so heavy that the horses had 3 times already come to a stop, besides once drawing the coach across the road with the mutinous intent of taking it back to Blackheath. Reins and whip and coachman and guard, however, in combination, had read that article of war which forbade a purpose otherwise strongly in favour of the argument that some brute animals are endued with reason, and the team had capitulated and returned to their duty. With drooping heads and tremulous tails, they mashed their way through the thick mud, floundering and stumbling between whiles as if they were falling to pieces at the larger joints. As often as the driver arrested them and brought them to a stand with a wary, "Whoa, whoa, Soho, then!" the near leader violently shook his head, and everything upon it, like an unusually emphatic horse, denying that the coach could be got up the hill. Whenever the leader made this rattle, the passenger started, as a nervous passenger might, and was disturbed in mind. There was a steaming mist in all the hollows, and it had roamed in its forlornness up the hill, like an evil spirit seeking rest and finding none. A clammy and intensely cold mist, it made its slow way through the air in ripples that visibly followed and overspread one another as the waves of an unwholesome sea might do. It was dense enough to shut out everything from the light of the coach lamps but these its own workings and a few yards of road, and the reek of the labouring horses steamed into it as if they had made it all. 2 other passengers, besides the one, were plodding up the hill by the side of the mail. All 3 were wrapped to the cheekbones and over the ears and wore jackboots. Not one of the 3 could have said from anything he saw what either of the other 2 was like. And each was hidden under almost as many wrappers from the eyes of the mind as from the eyes of the body of his 2 companions. In those days travellers were very shy of being confidential on a short notice, for anybody on the road might be a robber or in league with robbers. As to the latter, when every posting-house and ale-house could produce somebody in the captain's pay, ranging from the landlord to the lowest stable nondescript, it was the likeliest thing upon the cards. So the guard of the Dover Mail thought to himself, that Friday night in November 1775, lumbering up Shooter's Hill, as he stood on his own particular perch behind the mail, beating his feet and keeping an eye and a hand on the arm-chest before him, where a loaded blunderbuss lay at the top of 6 or 8 loaded horse-pistols, deposited on a substratum of cutlass.